with cries of Hosanna and great celebration. Here, just a few days later, is Jesus being led to a crucifixion site. Having been beaten, having had this crown of thorns placed on his head, having his back ripped to shreds with whips, his blood being shed, all for you and I. When I survey that, what does that do for me? And there were a whole lot of people at that time surveying that very event that was taking place. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to be our Savior. And yet everybody there with their opinions came and gathered around to see what was going on and to be a part of that. And two, I believe in that same way, there are a lot of people, there are multitudes witnessing what Jesus did for us and what Jesus did for them. It shouldn't be a surprise that there's an interest in what took place on Good Friday. It wasn't called Good Friday then, it was just called the day Jesus was crucified. It was a coming together of these events. And there was this time when God demonstrated his love toward us. That while we, those then and us yet to come, are still sinners and Christ died for us. Jesus, in many ways he says he would rather it didn't take place. If it be possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours. And here he is, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Repositioning in us and positioning us in this day of 2023. I get confused with the 21st century and 2023. I was born in the last century, like a lot of you here. And it shouldn't have been a surprise. There was a lot of interest. I don't believe it shouldn't be a surprise for us. There's interest in what took place on Good Friday. In the days in which we live, in the world in which we live, in the society in which we live, in the culture in which we live, it can just be another holiday. It was prophesied before this would take place. When Jesus has that discussion with Nicodemus about new birth, he references it himself and he says, as Moses was lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through what took place, through what is going on, through him, might be saved. Doesn't the world ever need saving? And there is an interest always in spiritual. There's an interest in supernatural. There's an interest. And there's an interest in the day when Jesus hung on a cross. And there were this multitude of people. If you like, they were surveying the cross. All with different opinions, all with different ideas. And here Jesus, he had spoken before, obviously before of this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, it had to happen. So the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. In the Old Testament, when the people were in rebellion, covered in sickness and covered in boils, pleading for mercy, God says to Moses, make a serpent, make a bronze serpent and put it on your staff and hold it up. Raise it up. And everyone who looked at it, believed in it, were healed. What a picture as Jesus has been lifted up. And there's this crowd watching. Watching and seeing and getting an understanding and having their opinions as they survey what's going on. And we know some of who were there. Just ordinary people like you and I who had an interest. We're just surveying and watching what was happening. And the Bible says most of them were at a distance. You're standing back and looking around. What is going on? What is happening here? What's taking place as the Son of Man is lifted up, crucified? His blood is flowing. He's taking upon himself the sins of the world and for those yet to come. Repositioning us or giving us that opportunity to reposition ourselves and become and stand righteous before God. And I asked myself the question, we're not there in that scene on Calvary, but it is as relevant for us today as it was then. And where would you have been? Where would I have been? Surveying that scene. We know many who were there. We know that there were scribes, there were Pharisees, there were religious people, you know, mocking and ridiculing and condemning and feeling they'd won the day. There was Jesus' mother and friends and people who'd been with him and John writes in his gospel how Jesus, they're close enough to hear what Jesus is saying as he basically says to John, take care of my mother. And there are those who can't hear exactly what is being said, and there are soldiers there mocking and offering him some of the wine and sour wine they had there. All sorts of people. There were some just saw it as nothing important at all and were just trivially playing games. There was soldiers who considered his garment to be worth something, and so they decided rather than they bid for it and they play a game. Well, Jesus is being crucified. The Son of Man is being lifted up. Just messing around and taking this moment without any reverence. The crowds were watching. I wonder where I would have been. Peter there, who just recently denied Jesus, denied ever knowing him. He'd followed him Throughout his journey, he'd been close to one of the people closest to Jesus. And when he is being lifted up, when he is being beaten, Peter said, I don't know who he is. Until the cock crowed. Imagine how he was feeling. And some just being glad it's all over. We finished it. He's out of our way. Now we can get on with life. Yeah, there were others. Well, the centurion who had taken responsibility for this whole event. When he sees what is happening and sees people's responses. Wow. Surely this is the Son of God. I wonder where I would have been. I wonder where I am now. And then there were two others who could see the whole thing from a different perspective, and they weren't on the ground looking up, but they were on the cross looking down. And one was looking to his right and the other was looking to his left. You could see what was going on the ground and see all the people that were doing what they were doing and having their opinions. And they were looking at the one in the middle, and they were looking at the one in the middle and seeing things from a different perspective, seeing everything that was going on. Could see the whole thing from a different perspective, either side of Jesus. There's one sneering and ridiculing and, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. And while you're doing so, while you're saving yourself, save us too. This is what it says. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? There's something was going on in his thinking, and he has a fear of God, and he's looking at his the guy on the other side. While you're surveying all this, have you got no fear of God? I tell you, there's people today who can look around, see everything that's going on around them. And even surveying the wondrous cross and still have no fear of God. Since seeing you are under the same condemnation, and he indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. There's the one on the cross in the middle, who, if you survey it and see the detail of what goes on, you don't have to receive the just reward for your deeds. It says, but we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. When I look, when I survey, and when I see what is going on, this man's done nothing wrong. And in that moment, in surveying the wondrous cross, he chooses to believe. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it changes everything. changes everything. And some of the very last words Jesus spoke were assuredly. There's no doubts. There's no questioning. There's no judging and trying to get your head around it. Assuredly, I say to you, today, at this moment, you will be with me in paradise. And when surveying everything that's going on, the wondrous cross didn't seem very wondrous. It didn't seem a very good Friday. But when you look at it in detail, and I tell you, it's not just something we look back at, but it's something we look at today. He says, Lord, remember me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever would believe in him. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this man, in his surveying of the cross, you know, he shows us, by grace, this man, you know, there was no reason on earth why this man should have received what he was given, naturally, but through Christ. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. It's not of works, as anyone should boast. It's a free gift. It's available. And when you survey the wondrous cross, everything that Christ did on the cross is available to you. It's available to me. When he be lifted up, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and those men and women who were suffering in such terrible ways with boils and all sorts of stuff going on in their lives. And he just says, just look at it. Just believe. Instantly, they were healed. God is incredible, isn't he? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So surely this is a good Friday. It is a good day. You know, when you look at things from a natural perspective, sometimes they don't seem very good, but it's a good day. And of course, we, not those people who were surveying the cross 2,000 years ago, you know, they were had all their opinions, all their ideas. You know, they maybe they weren't aware of what was going to take place just a few days later. It's a good day. And as we remember the goodness of the day, and we survey the cross, we survey the shedding of his blood, the breaking of his body, the giving of his life, the sacrifice he made. Everything that was achieved on the cross is available today. So as we survey the cross this morning, as we take this bread, these wafers and this juice, remembering what he did for us, remembering the sacrifice he made for us, remember the cross. And if there's something in your life that you're believing for, that was taken care of at the cross, we want to encourage you this morning as we worship with and just bring this time of togetherness to an end. As you take the communion, as we worship, as we just spend this time in reverence and remembering and surveying, if you've got something going on in your life where you need to see manifestation of the power that took place on that day, that which the chains that were broken, the sin that was forgiven, the healing that was provided, the breakthrough. If you've got something that's going on in your life. You need to see a manifestation, the power that was demonstrated when Jesus died. We'd like to encourage you to write it on a piece of paper. We got it, and let's put it at the cross as a physical demonstration and a physical act of saying, yes, surely this is the Son of God. Will you remember me when you go into your Father's kingdom? I believe. So as we worship in communion, take the juice, take the wafer, write what is on your mind, what is on your heart, that which is going on in your life. Maybe you need to see healing in your body. Maybe you need to see a breakthrough in your life in some way. Or maybe even here, you're here this morning and you're part of this service today and you've come to church on this Good Friday morning, but you say, I have never received what that thief on the cross received. I've never received salvation. I've never allowed God to take my sin and take my past and to give me a new future. I've never allowed him to make me that new person. I've never asked him to forgive me. I can't place my hand on my heart and say, I'm born again. Why don't you take that opportunity this morning to say, thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you hung on a cross for me. Thank you that you've forgiven me for my sin, my past. Thank you that you can make me a brand new person. When you ask him today to come into your life, just as that thief on the cross who surveyed everything that was going on around and was able to say, you know, this man's done nothing wrong. Will you remember me? If you are here this morning and you say, I need Jesus to remember me, you can ask him right now to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and give you a brand new future. Let me help you pray that prayer. Maybe you're distant from God. Maybe you've you need to make a recommitment on this Good Friday of 2023. Say, Heavenly Father. Let's all say this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the precious name of Jesus. I thank you that you sent your Son to forgive me of my sin, to take it all on himself and leave it at the cross, to shed his blood for me. I thank you. So forgive me, Lord. I ask you to come into my life and make me a brand new person and give me that new life in Jesus' name. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So we're going to take communion. I encourage you to come in your own time. And as you do that, and if you'd like to lay something at the cross, maybe you've got something going on in your life, something so significant that you need to see a demonstration of the power of the finished work of the cross. Write it on a piece of paper. We've got some paper here and we've got some pens, and just place them in this basket. We'll pray over those. Believe the power of the finished work of the cross to be manifest in our lives.